Are we all here? I think we're, it's almost, Kevin, lights down a little bit, please. Yeah, thank you. That's better. All right. Hey, great to have you guys. Welcome to Training Day. I'm Bill Ashbaugh, and this is Greg Turner. We're your trainers. We're going to start with some light calisthenics, then we'll move on to some sit-ups and burpees. So if everybody will stand up.
Wait a minute, Bill. It's not that type of training. I mean,
it's not.
No. Don't you know? I mean, 1 Timothy 4:8. I mean, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
So you're hitting me with the word right off.
Well, I am
right off the bat here. Okay, all right. It's a good start. So before I mess up further, will you open us with prayer?
I will. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you've brought us here today. We know that you have great things in store for us. We thank you for Bill, who's worked hard on this presentation and is willing to share his story. And Lord, we just know that there are so many people here who can be touched, and people beyond this room, as they open up their lives to your word, putting it in their heart, and learning how to memorize it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. So, yeah, this is not about physical training. And so also, just to be clear, dwelling richly, this is not a class about how to move in with rich people. I think JP taught about that at the porch, you know, recently, so you can go check with him on it, but we're not going to talk about that topic. So just a little more by way of introduction. Again, my name is Bill Ashbaugh. I have been married for, it'll be 35 years this September, to Susie. Raised four adult children. We have three sons, a princess, and a princess-in-law. And we are expecting our first grandchild. So didn't want to alarm you any further. So. We have been at Watermark for 15 years, and it has been a blessing. Today, Susie and I lead foundation groups, and I'm active with the Men's Ministry Summit, which I recommend to you. So Greg, tell us about yourself.
Well, we've been here at Watermark for, 10-plus years, and Susan and I have been married for 32 years. And
newlyweds.
Newlyweds, that's right. Three kids, they're all over, they're all grown. And I assist Bill some with Summit, and have been involved in different things through the years here at the church. So.
Great. Well, thank you for being my wingman today, Greg.
That's right. That's my job.
So, just a caveat, if part of this lesson today sounds like a talk that Michelle Obama gave a few years ago, I apologize for that. You know, using Melania Trump's speechwriter seemed like a good idea. Turned out maybe not so much, but so apologies to Michelle. So this skeleton walks into a bar and sits down. You know, bartender kind of looks at him funny, comes over and says, "So, fellow, what can I get you?" And the skeleton looks back at him and says, "A beer and a mop." So, today's question.
It's dry humor. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Today's question, what can we get you guys? What motivated you besides 100 degree temperatures to join us this morning at Training Day, Watermark, for a course on scripture memory? Anybody, don't be shy. Why are you here? Yes.
Help with evangelism.
Excellent. Very good. What else? Yes.
I want my scripture memory to be more than mechanical.
More than mechanical. Thank you. I resonate with that. Appreciate that. What else? Yes?
Recite it when I'm tempted.
Recite it when you're tempted. I also resonate with that. That's going to be a key theme today. Thank you. Excellent. Any other thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Okay, you want some tactical skills in terms of doing better. ED3, we're going to talk about Equip Disciple, which is a great program we have here at Watermark. Any other reasons that you're here this morning? Yes?
Motivation,
okay. Hopefully we will give you some motivation. Thank you. Yes, Charlie?
You're in our community group and the committee.
Obligatory attendees, yes. This front row was populated by my family, my community group, my foundation group, so my summit group. So I asked them to come in case nobody else would. So thank you for being here. Well, let me tell you why I'm here today. So you guys know what do-overs are, right? It's fairly self-explanatory. Anybody have a do-over you want to share with us? More audience participation is good. What's a do-over? Share a do-over with us. Robert Green, you got a do-over?
Man, there's so many, Bill. I don't know if I can narrow it down.
That's why I called on you. I knew you had lots of them, Robert.
Well, I thought I could mow the yard yesterday, but it was a little bit hot, so I wish I hadn't started that.
Well, Linda didn't get around to it either, I take it. So, Robert's do-over is he wished he had mowed the yard yesterday because he didn't have to do it today. So one of my do-overs involves this demonic set of sports equipment, golf. I am a terrible golfer. And one of the reasons I am a terrible golfer is I didn't play my first round of golf was when my oldest son was a senior in high school and said, hey, I want to play golf. That's not the best game to start late in life, I promise you. And so that's not my game. But I've got even a more significant do-over, and that's today's topic. You know, I guess been a Christian for 40 years, and you know, I'm really sorry to say that for at least 35 of those years, you know, I gave scripture memory just a passing nod and a wink. You know, I missed out on the blessing of intentionally hiding God's word in my heart through memorization. And it's been a life changer. And that's why I'm here. You know, every year at Watermark, we have the 4B form you fill out. If you're not a member of Watermark, it's a spiritual self-assessment. And one of the questions every year that I felt guilt over is the question of something to the effect of, have you grown in your walk with Christ in the past year? In just too many years, I get to that question, you know, wow, maybe, you know, sort of, I think. But no, I couldn't answer yes with conviction until I started memorizing Scripture. And as I said, it's just been a life changer. I was on the phone with my oldest son, Matt, several years ago, and I don't even remember what we were talking about. But I had shared a verse with him, and he said, "Dad, you never used to share scripture with us." You know, he's right. So I'm doing better. I met with Blake Holmes several months ago. I said, "Blake, I think that not just at Watermark, but in the church, I think we're missing the boat on scripture memory. You know, we give it, we just don't emphasize it. It's like there is a hole in our scripture memory donut. And so today is about the donut hole. You know, I could give this talk in about 5 minutes, the gist of it, because I've done it a number of times over lunch, because I'm so passionate about it. But you paid $10, and so you get a two-hour version.
15? Yeah, they paid $15.
Some of you paid $15. You can stay afterwards and ask personal questions of me. So, with that, let's get started. And my, is my clicker working here? Is my clicker on? Kevin?
You probably clicked that way.
Ah.
Still didn't work.
Kevin, can you come check this? Yes. We checked everything but the clicker. There we go. Okay. So our goal today, simply stated, to give you guys a new way of thinking about and having success with scripture memory. So that's simple. You know, the end game isn't scripture memory. Just hiding God's word in your heart, that alone, that's not where it stops. That's is to facilitate life change. That is the goal. You know, in the great commandment in Matthew 22:37, Jesus says, love the Lord your God, reminds us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He goes on to say, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the objective is to be like Christ. And it's about obedience. In Psalm 119:11, David wrote, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. One of you guys mentioned help against temptation, fighting temptation. Hiding God's word in your heart will absolutely facilitate that. Even if memorization doesn't come easy to you, it's still worth the effort. You know, it's like, have you ever had a tough piece of steak and you chew it, and I mean, it's just you're chewing it, and you're just not, it's just not, nothing's happening. And you may, after a while, you know that piece of steak. I mean, you've experienced that piece of steak. And it's the same thing with a verse. You might work for a week on a verse and not have it mastered, but the effort that you put into it, you know, the Holy Spirit blesses that. You know, it starts to seep in, and it as we'll get to later, it facilitates meditation. It's the process. It's not just I've got it, I've nailed it, but it's the act of doing it, of spending time with the passage that the Spirit has led you to. A couple of years ago, our community group went up to Boston. I'm not a marathon runner. That's probably shocking to you. You probably nailed me immediately as a marathon guy. But Patrice Shelby, raise your hand, Patrice. There she is. She is a marathoner. And so our community group went up to Boston to support her, watch her run. And it's an amazing event if you've never been up there. And, you know, we went from station to station. We saw her probably about four spots along the way, always cheering her on and giving her something to snack on. And it was the last station before the finish line where we met her. Patrice comes running up, and it was a cold, rainy, nasty day. I was miserable as a spectator. And Patrice was whipped. I mean, she was hurting. And Charlie's, you know, offering things to eat. We're rubbing her back, you know, just encouraging her. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a voluntary thing here. Okay, you're doing it. We got a car right over here. You don't have to do this. And I didn't say that. But somebody tells me she would not have taken taken me up on my offer. And so this is a race we're running. As Hebrews says, or encourages, that we're to run it with perseverance. Run the race marked out for us with perseverance. And I'm here to tell you that you run better when you have Scripture hidden in your heart. You run with more confidence. You run with more endurance. And with just more joy. And you help those you're running with you also. So here's a quick outline. pretty simple. We're going to talk about who, why, what, and how. Who, obviously, the men and women of God who desire to be more thoroughly equipped. That's why you're here, and we're so glad to have you. Next, we're going to talk about why, the biblical case for Scripture memory. And then what? This is kind of the core thesis that I want to bring to you guys today, which is how to personalize Scripture memorization to really make it resonate with your heart. And then lastly, some tools and tips and some technology that hopefully will help you, the guys in ED3, do a better job of remembering and reviewing the Word. And we'll have some time at the end for some hands-on practice. If you have some questions that pop up during the way, we'll try to stop periodically and take some. We're going to have a break about a halfway through for 15 minutes, and so we'll also be available up here. You can come up and talk to us then. So let's talk first about some myths about Scripture memorization. First of all, Scripture memory is not just for children. You know, that's where a lot of Scripture memorization happens in churches. I remember at our old, the church we were at before Watermark, they had an amazing Scripture memory program for children. At Watermark, if you've worked with any of the children's programs, they do a fantastic job. On K1 Race, where Susie and I have served some, every month there is a verse tied to a character trait. And they work it every Sunday. They send the verses home with kids to work and to memorize that. And a lot of these kids do really well at learning those verses.
Has anyone done, do y'all know BMA, Bible Memory Association? I don't know. Yeah. I had to do that as a kid. And that's kind of how, I couldn't go out for what I wanted to do until I finished my verses each week. So, and you know, it ended up being a little bit of a beating. So, and one of the things, I knew that was in my heart, that those verses were in my heart, but I never could go back and find them. And so anyway, we'll talk about that later today, but it isn't just for kids.
It is not. But you know, most churches leave adults alone. You know, they reference it. You know, in Summit, every week there's a verse to memorize. Most Summit groups kind of just give it a quick lick. Not our group. You know, we memorize those verses, don't we, Tyler? Okay, so next. Scripture memory is not just for young adults with peak mental abilities. You know, I pulled this photo off the internet. This looks like it was taken at the launch retreat for Porch. And many of you are young, but some of you aren't so young anymore. And I'm here to tell you that it's never too late. In fact, The National Institute on Health and Aging has discovered that if you work at memorization skills, as long as 5 years later, you are still realizing cognitive benefit from just exercising your mind. So it's great for your brain. I think we underestimate what we're capable of. I know we do. Researchers have discovered that, and it's fairly intuitive, but practicing memorization can delay a typical cognitive decline by 7 to 14 years. And if you have parents or grandparents who are, as they age, you've seen it. You know, my dad, his short-term memory was just shot towards the end of his life. And we can, it's like exercise. You know, use physical exercise. This is mental exercise, memorization. So it's good for you. It's not just for younger adults. Next, Scripture memorization is just not for the brilliant. You know, the straight A students, those who have photographic memories. You know, it's not a competition. You know, I'm not as good at golf as Jordan Spieth. But that's not a reason for me not to play golf. you know, with the right motivation and the right tools, you can develop your ability to memorize. So now, having said that, just kind of surveying the crowd, with a few notable exceptions, this looks like an intelligent group of people here today. And I would like four volunteers who think they are pretty good at memorization. And there is a prize associated with volunteering this morning. So I need four volunteers. Let me see a show of hands. First one, come on up. I need three more. Show of hands, Art, please come on up. One, two more.
There you
okay.
go. Way to go.
I need two more. Okay, come on up. One more volunteer. Okay, please come on up. All right, now I am going to write on the board behind you a string of numbers. And you're each going to have a minute to memorize as many of these digits as you can. And we have a prize for the winner, okay? So let me write these numbers up here. Actually, yeah, I'll do it here.
You gotta be kidding.
We're gonna see. I have confidence. I picked strategically the group I thought would do best, the guys that, you know, I thought. Okay, all right. Well, before we turn you loose on this, so first of all, let's see. We'll meet our contestants here. Jeffrey, Bill Ashball, nice to meet you. Jeffrey, how long have you, let's see, get the mic for Jeffrey here.
And yeah, flip it on.
And that's okay, like memorization.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Are we on?
So, yeah, that's got it.
Okay, here we go. So how long have you been at Watermark?
Since about 2 years.
Okay, are you a member? You
yes,
joined?
Sir.
Are you in a community group?
Yes, sir.
So would you share with us the birthdays of the people in your community group?
Last Thursday was David Brightley's.
That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, that is okay. You remember from last week.
I didn't make it to dinner, though.
Okay, all right. He missed dinner. Okay. Well, thank you, Jeffrey. Yep. And tell me your name again. Allison. Very nice to have you here, Allison. And so, have you been to Training Day at Watermark before?
I have not.
Then am I... Is it safe to say this is the best Training Day class you've been to?
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Matt, let the record note Allison's recommendation of this course. All right. Thank you, Allison. And you are?
My name is Gio.
Gio. Okay. Nice to have you, Gio. And are you a Watermark member?
Yes, sir.
Great to have you.
Yes.
So what was the name of your first girlfriend?
Stacy.
Stacy. Is Stacy here today?
No. She married my best friend.
Okay.
Oh, true story. I was in the wedding.
This is uncomfortable. We're going to move on. All right.
Thank you.
One more contestant. Your name is Susie. Very good to have you. I've been at Watermark for a while. Okay. Great. Great. Are you enjoying Training Day?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Great to have you. All right. Everyone turn around. You've got 60 seconds to memorize as many of these digits as you can. Susie, get where you can see them. Greg, you're going to have to monitor the results. I didn't start my watch, so we'll kind of wing it in terms of the guess.
Specific order?
Yeah, in order. Not just random digits. I chose well. Okay, time's up. All right, we'll start on this end.
275-2001-85.
All right, he got 85. Is that correct, Craig?
That is correct.
All right, next, Allison.
200-185-18.
Next, we're moving on. Thank you, Allison. Very nice try. Can you hug? Okay. All right, Gio.
275, 200, 185, 946, 80. That's all I got.
Wow. That is impressive. We have, you're in the pole position. Okay, now we go to Susie.
27520018594685771065505
Wow. Can I have a kiss? Thank you. This is my wife. That is her library card number, followed by our last two street addresses. So, but she knows her library card number because she uses it, okay? That's one of the teaching moments here. Thank you, contestants. Oh, let's see, Gio, yes, Gio, you get a prize. Pass the Starbucks card back to Gio there. There you go. Thank you, Greg. Good job.
So it was in her heart.
Where'd my book go?
Is that what you're saying? It was in her heart.
Yes, she has her library card in her heart. Library card number. So you can often find my wife at the library. Okay, moving on. Scripture memory is not just for pastors like this guy. If you know our pastor, he has memorized a ton of scripture. And it is a blessing to us. When he preaches, he's just saying scripture. And, you know, if you're not familiar with the Bible, you might just think those are his words. They are often, you know, straight from his heart, words that he's memorized. I found, as I was doing research on scripture memorization on the web, I saw one site, the headline was, 7 Reasons Why Kids Must Memorize Scripture. And right below it was 7 Reasons Why Pastors Should Memorize Scripture. I thought that's kind of interesting. You know, kids must, pastors should, the rest of us, you know, you want to, great, no, I have to, no big deal. So, you know, we get a pass, generally. So who should memorize the word? I argue that it should be the normative Christian experience. Everyone who wants a closer walk with God, to be like Christ, should memorize the word. You know, when he was tempted in the wilderness, what did Christ do when he interacted with the prince of this world? He quoted scripture. That was his response. He was equipped. And he had a response for Satan. As I said earlier, you know, about the race, there's so much the value that's in the journey. And as we memorize scripture, you know, it transforms our mind, as we are encouraged to do in Romans 12:2. Our mind is renewed as we memorize and hide God's word in our heart. So, before I flip to this next slide, you'll see my thoughts on this. I want to hear from you guys again. Why is memorizing the word so hard? Why don't we do it? Why is it so elusive? What are some reasons? Just show of hands on that, please. Yes?
Finding the time to do it.
Making it a priority, right? Very good.
Motivation.
Thank you. What else? Yes?
The importance of connecting scripture with something that's happening in your life.
Okay, that's a reason to do it. But so when you're not doing that, it's demotivating. Is that correct? Yes?
There's not always a tangible return on investment.
I'm sorry, say again?
There's not always a tangible return on investment.
You don't always see benefit from it. Yeah, you not see a tangible return on the effort you put into it. Yes, ma'am? It's work. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like going to the gym isn't fun, but, you know, it's good for us. Yes?
I get frustrated when I put in work to memorize scripture, and then I know it, but then I forget it, and then it's
So that's my daughter, by the way, Mallory. Mm-hmm. And that I think that's very common that, you know, we put all this effort in and we got it nailed and then we forget it. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
We got some solutions for that. Yes?
And scripture is now so accessible
with
the phone.
I'm having a hard time.
Scripture is now so easily accessible with the phones.
We're going to get to that too, in terms of a tool. You know, we've got part of our technologies can greatly enable this. So here was my list, and you guys hit some of these things. Some of them you might not have. So just kind of reading down them as we record this, by the way. So obstacles to overcome or reasons that we don't memorize Scripture. I'm not good at it. It's too late, you know, or too early to start. I'm too old. I'm too young. I tried and failed. I did, but I forgot everything, like Mallory said. I don't know where to start. Bible's huge. You know, it's like, you know, how do you get going? I simply don't know how. I don't have time. That came up. Or, hey, I read it every day. I study the Bible. Why do I need to memorize it? And there are other reasons. And some of you may have not verbalized, but there are a lot of excuses for not doing this. Bottom line is, it is hard. Here's a couple of quotes. This first is from Dawson Trotman. Dawson Trotman was the founder of the Navigators, which is a fantastic ministry focused on the college campuses. They are known for their zeal for scripture memorization. And Dawson, when he was young, his first job was driving a truck. He purposed to memorize a verse every day as he was driving the truck. And that began kickstarted his life ministry. So he wrote, "It's hard for the flesh to think God thoughts. It's hard to concentrate on spiritual concepts. The brain doesn't like to think, especially if it's on spiritual matters. We like to sit down in a nice soft chair and a cool breeze and float to heaven on a flowery bed of ease. I'm that way, and I know that in life there are a lot of things that come easy. But getting the Word of God on your heart through memorization isn't one of them. It's spiritual. Anything spiritual is work. And my flesh and blood doesn't like work. But it can be done, and we can do it." Don Whitney, who wrote a great book I recommend to you, The Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life, says, "Many Christians look on the spiritual discipline of memorizing God's word as something tantamount to modern-day martyrdom. Ask them to memorize Bible verses, and they react with about as much eagerness as volunteers to face Nero's lions. How come? Perhaps because many associate memorization with the memory efforts required of them in school. It was work. And most of the time, it was uninteresting and of limited value." That really resonated with me. It's hard. And I didn't like memorizing things at school. And most of the stuff I memorized, you know, limited value. Didn't, you know, you know the capital of Montana?
Billings.
Well, I didn't remember that. Thank you. No idea. How did you know that?
I don't know. Yeah, we had to do that with our kids.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, to many, so let me ask this question. How many of you guys like to go to the dentist? Raise your hand, please, if you like to go to the dentist. Nobody? Patrice likes, she's a marathoner who likes to go to the dentist. She's a perfect woman. Charlie, you chose well. So I don't like to go to the dentist. And one of the worst things about going to the dentist is the dreaded question. You know the dreaded question? Do you floss? Every time. They ask, "Do you floss?" And she's like, "Well, I don't think I do that. You know, I think I did it one time. I last Thursday with a, I used a toothpick after we had corn on the cob. Is that okay? And then there's the second question, the follow-up question. You know the follow-up question? Why don't you floss? I don't like to do it. I don't like that. It's getting way back here. In fact, Greg, I brought some floss here today. If you demonstrate, you know, while I'm talking, if you could go ahead and floss for us. You want to do that?
All of my teeth?
Yeah. But
yeah.
No, you don't have to do that, Greg.
Thank you.
Mallory was concerned that you, I
floss every morning. I don't know why I'd need to do it now. So, no, I'm kidding. I don't.
You know, it is good for us, but we don't like to do it. And we feel guilty about it. I feel guilty about it at least once every 6 months. I feel very guilty about it. You know, in preparing for this talk, I just went to my bookshelf and I thought, well, I'm going to see what, you know, what some of these great Christian writers have to say about scripture memorization. And so I just randomly grabbed 20 books. And I just flipped through them. 20 books. 18 of them either said nothing about scripture memorization or just gave it a passing mention. Only two really made a point about it. Kudos to Janet Pope, a Watermark member.
Yay, Janet.
For his word in my heart. And to Don Whitney, I mentioned him a moment ago, for his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. But all the others, he just kind of just didn't even bring it up. Or I said, or just barely. So it's not emphasized. It's not something the everyday Christian does. It's just too much to ask from people. They won't do it. So why even ask? Most, as I said, Summit, a lot of the groups don't even, Summit's a great program, by the way. Highly recommend it for men. But a lot of Summit groups don't really emphasize scripture memorization. And so we're left with low expectations and limited motivation, and it just doesn't happen. That is the status quo in the church. Not just a great church like Watermark, but certainly a lot of, maybe to use Todd's phraseology, dead churches. As a result, we're missing out on one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life, one of the most effective tools available to us. So, we have another opportunity for a Starbucks card. I'm going to read a quote here, and I want to see who can tell me what this quote is from. Okay? Listening? Whatever their bodies do affects their souls. It's funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. Who said a hand way up in the back? I saw that firsthand. Screw tape letters. Thank you. We have a winner. Yes, that was Screwtape, the senior devil, speaking to his junior trainee, Wormwood. And so, their best work is done by keeping things out. And what do you think they want to keep out of your mind? It's not what you're having for dinner tomorrow night. It's God's Word. Because that is the weapon they know they can't stand against. All right, so Greg is going to lead us through these next set of slides on the progressive stages of interacting with the Word. So Greg,
all right,
take it away.
So we've got seven stages that we've identified in how we interact with the Word of the Lord. And the first one here is to hear it. And it comes with a warning. It's just speaking about hear it. I mean, how do we hear the Word? Through sermons. And I don't know if y'all have. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. On YouVersion for your Bible app, you can always hit the audio, and on the NIV, and Max McLean, speaking of Screwtape Letters, Max McLean, have any of y'all done that? Listen to Max McLean on the NIV? Well, I think everyone ought to try it, because you've never heard Psalms like he can do it. And it really seeps in, and that's not the point of where we're going, but in your car, with your app, with your phone, you hook up Bluetooth, and driving to work, you hit Psalm 91 and hit Max McLean speaking it to you in a way that you've never heard it. And it's just a great way to hear the word and interact. So I encourage you to do that. But it comes with a warning. James tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And we also, the Lord in shared with us here in Matthew, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. So in the parable of the seeds, I mean, we don't want to end up being the one that was real we want to have some root. And scripture memory, as we go through, and these other ways to interact with the word, that's how you have root, not just in hearing it.
Here, I'm going to trade you the clicker for my floss, dental floss.
Okay. Here, yeah, I'm not going to need that today. There we go. All right, so let's go to the next one. Where do you click?
All right, right button there.
Okay, and so the next one is to read it. And hopefully everyone is involved in this. I would say a fundamental step, and everyone here wants to get into memory, so hopefully they're already into reading it. But I didn't make significant progression in my spiritual life until just a few years ago, where I consistently got up every morning to read the Word. And I have been in church, I have, you know, checked the box and everything, and would spend time with the Lord, but until the time that it became a daily passion, and that's what it ends up being pretty soon, as most of you already know, you can't wait for that time you have before you go off to work to be able to spend some time with the Lord. And that's what we find in reading the Word. And we've got a passage here from Deuteronomy 17:19. It, the law, is to be with him, the king, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the word of this law and these decrees. Obviously, if we're not reading it as a fundamental step, we're not going to ever have it in our heart.
Hey, before you, don't look at your cheats. Everybody look up. So we've got a question for you. Starbucks card available. What's the next stage? Hear it, read it, what's next? I didn't see a hand. Put the hand, yes. Nope.
Nope.
Yes. Nope. Meditate on it, thank you.
Well, where is study it?
Oh gosh, I really blew that. I need a hug, Greg.
Well, you do.
Sorry.
There you go.
We're going to study before we meditate. Wow, you still get a card over here.
What about the
writer? Who said study? Who said study it? You get a card too.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Thank you.
Sorry, Greg.
No, that's all right. That was good. So the next stage we've got, I need to hit the clicker. Is to study it. And there's many opportunities. We have, for the men here, I don't know if you're all doing it, Summit is great. We do it in the fall and the spring. It's a limited commitment of about 8 to 9 weeks, and then you come back and you do it again. So that's a great way to study it. The women have a phenomenal Bible study here. I'm sure all of you have
been involved in other Bible studies. I did Bible study fellowship for years, and it was just transformative for me. It's just great. So we all get into the study, but as Bill's pointed out, we kind of leave it maybe there.
Yeah.
So
what's that next stage?
So right. Is meditate.
Ah, excellent.
But in study it, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Okay, so let's go to the next one, to meditate on it. I really think that the next two steps go together, and we'll talk more about this, in that to meditate on the word, you have to have it in your heart. And you can read it and meditate on it, but it's even better when it's actually just coming from having your eyes closed and being able to think through it. So, and Bill's going to talk more about what it means and how to meditate on the Word. But we've got two scriptures here, Psalm 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And then we've got from Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. For me, this last year, I've made some progress in my scripture memory, very much thanks to Bill, who prodded me on several years ago in Summit. I heard somebody say they were frustrated, Mallory did, in memorizing, and then a month or two later, it's just kind of evaporated. And what worked for me, and we'll talk about it, is a little app called Scripture Typer that gave me a way to put all of my things that I had learned in there, and it keeps nicking at you and telling you you need to go back and do it again. And so I got a way to categorize all the scripture that I had learned. But it was I went through a difficult time last year in business and different things, and I just think it was God's hand for me, because Bill had mentioned this to me, and then I made some progress in scripture memory, and really what I found that I had never experienced before is when you have God's word on your heart and you know it, you can pray it, and when you pray it, it means so much more. And it's like I mean, it's like graduate school of being in the study and being with and at one with the Lord is when you have his word on your heart and you're praying through Psalm 23. And you say the first line and you stop and you pray about it. And then you go to the next line. And it opens up things in your heart that you would never otherwise understand. And so to me, that's part of meditating on it. You'll talk about it, but being able to pray it and have it in your heart, meditation is just a wonderful thing. The next step is memorizing, and that's why we're here. The scriptures we've got, did it work? Yep. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom.
That's the verse that is the basis of the theme of this class, or the title of the class, to dwell richly.
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. John 15:7. In our family, the memorization came in through my wife a few years ago. We would go to our annual Christmas party, and there was a man who was one of my father's
business associates for years, every year at Christmas, when it was about time to pray, and we had everyone there, they would turn over to Bob and say, "Bob, would you like to share the Christmas story?" And he would, from Luke 2, you know, he would just recite the Christmas story. And, you know, it's like, golly, how did he know all that and everything? So, but it inspired Susan, my wife, she wanted to do that. And it wasn't a show off or anything. She just wanted it in her heart. And this was just a few years ago. And so she memorized that. And then after that, she memorized something else. And Susan is very smart and very capable. But she's not a genius. But, I mean, she is to me, but I'm just saying. She, but you would not believe. She then, this is really, I think, before Janet Pope had come to the, she ran into Janet through her book, and she got to know Janet Pope. And she started spurring her on, and you mentioned Janet's book. But she's a member here at Watermark, and she is, it's unbelievable how Janet can memorize scripture. But Susan has memorized now chapters and even whole books of the Bible. And I can sit out with Susan, my wife, and we can be in the car heading somewhere, and I'll say, "Well, why don't you share with me Daniel? You've been working on Daniel." She starts out at the beginning, and, you know, we're into it, six chapters, just going on and on and on. And so, clearly she has a gift, but on the other hand, she hadn't been working on it until just a few years ago. And she's a wonderful, talented lady, but there are ways, we can all do this, is my point. And it's wonderful. Now, I will admit that sometimes if I'm having a hard time going to sleep, I'll say, "Oh, what are you working on?" She'll tell me. I go, "Well, why don't you share it with me?" And then, you know, it'll knock me out in about, you know, a chapter and a half.
Yeah, but can we delete that from the...
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, you know, the devil wants you to go to sleep at that point. So, okay, so let's go to the next slide. Live it. So once we have it in our heart and we've done these things, then we can actually live it in our lives. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Psalm 119:9. I run in the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Psalm 119:32. And, you know, this is obviously, I mean, this is our goal. I mean, we call ourselves Christians, and we want to live as the Lord would have us live, to bring him glory. How do we do it? Unless the word, we know the word, we hear the word, we study the word, we have the word in our heart. And once we have it in our heart, it becomes who we are. And that's the progression. And it doesn't end there. And if we go to the next slide, and that's that we want to share it. And that's the Lord's plan. He doesn't just want it for our edification. He wants it so we can bring others to him. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Colossians 3:16. And preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. 2 Timothy 4:2. Okay, so looking at all of this, it's been our observation, and Bill's observation, I completely agree with it, is these progressive stages of interacting with the word. We start out with hear it, and everybody's pretty good. They call themselves Christian. They're going to church some. They're hearing it at the sermons. They're hearing it from other people. So they're there. And then the next step, it's kind of a few people fall out here, read it. There's a consistent basis of reading it, maybe getting up every morning, reading it. And then there's the next step, and that's study it. And we're all involved in studies, but that's a little bit. And that's, at that point, kind of where it ends. There's very few people that are going, and there needs to be more, and we need to all be there, to the next steps, 4 and 5, of where we memorize it and meditate on it. And that way, even though people who hear, read, and study it do live it to some degree and do share it to some degree, it's so much more powerful. And you will live it at such a better rate and such a better way if it's on your heart and you've memorized it. So let's go back.
Thank you, Greg. Can I get the clicker?
You can have the clicker.
So let's talk some more about meditation. This is a quote from a great philosopher, Bruce Lee. He said, "Be like water, making its way through cracks. Do not be assertive, but adjust to the object, and you shall find a way around or through it. If nothing within you stays rigid, outward things will disclose themselves. Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. If you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it into a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend." I hope that was helpful to you in your spiritual journey. That's kind of the Eastern mindset, you know, detachment from the world. You can see the young lady there in the white box. She's meditating. You know, meditation involves posture, breathing, you know, a mantra, you know, which is kind of a mystic word or phrase that that has sometimes meaning, sometimes not. In fact, here's a quote off a Buddhist website about a mantra. "Don't actively think about the meaning of the mantra, if it even has one." That's their paren. "If you know what some of the words mean, then they will have associations for you." So, that's the Eastern perspective. And very different than the biblical perspective. I am really good at falling asleep. It's one of my skills. You know, the light goes off, boom, I am out. But many times I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my mind is just racing. It just, I mean, the next day, I can't quiet it. And so I have learned a trick, and that is praying God's word, saying God's word. I'm gonna teach you my Christian mantra this morning. So I want everybody to close their eyes. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and repeat after me. You will keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Okay, let's do that again. There's a joker in every crowd. Don't repeat that. Okay, here we go. From the top. Oh, by the way, I forgot the reference. Isaiah 26:3. Thank you. Okay, so close your eyes. From the top. You will keep in perfect peace.
You will keep in perfect peace.
Him whose mind is steadfast. Because he trusts in you.
Isaiah 26:3.
Thank you. Now, if you say that several more times, you will have learned that verse. That is an amazing verse. And I love the way it's structured because it begins at the end. So it begins with trust in God. So we trust in God. He gives us a steadfast mind, which results in perfect peace. That's a wonderful verse. And this is one of my go-to verses. And so sometimes when my mind is racing at 3 in the morning, I'll just say that verse. Or pray that verse more accurately. You know, over again. And it's really given me comfort. So, you know, we're to attach to God and His Word, not detach. That's meditation. So, go to the next slide here. In his book, Celebration of Discipline, which I've mentioned, Richard Foster quotes Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you're not familiar with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a leader of the church in Germany who was faithful. And in the end, he was killed by the Germans, by the Nazis, for his faith. But very deep thinker, a very just amazing believer. And one of his quotes was, "Just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, but accept them as they are said to you, accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart as Mary did." That is meditation. So ponder it in your heart. Thomas Watson said, "The reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation." He went on to say, "Meditate on what you read. The Hebrew word for meditate means to be intense in the mind. Meditation without reading is wrong." You've got to meditate on something of value, the Scriptures. So meditation without reading is wrong and bound to error. Reading without meditation is barren and fruitless. In James 1:23-25, that's the passage where James compares the person that looks in the mirror, sees himself, and then goes away and immediately forgets who he looks like. Contrast that to the person who looks intently into the precious word. That person now he takes something away from his time in the word and he lives it out. That's what meditation does for you. It's that intentionally and intently looking into the word of God.
You know, Bill, you mentioned Foster's Celebration of Discipline. That for me has been one of the most important books, and it's really incredible. And just to make a note, if you don't have it, you need to have it in your library. There's many, but in particular, the introduction to that book that he writes is something that every Christian needs to go back and read every year. It's phenomenal, 3 or 4 pages. But his chapter on meditation is really, really good. And it's Celebration of Discipline, Foster. It opened up exactly what Bill was saying. It's not a mantra. It's how you actually internalize and even visualize in your mind the word. And I had someone take me through this, and I'll never forget it, in meditating on the word. And stopping to think about when Jesus was calling his disciples, and you close your eyes and you think through it and you meditate on it, and you think about the Sea of Galilee, and you think about the wind and perhaps waves on the water, and you and this person who brought me through, you hear Christ walking up and you can hear his sandals on the stepping and walking up to talk to you. You can't believe how deep you can get into what the Scripture's telling you if you sit there and meditate on it. And anyway, Foster has an excellent chapter on how to go deep with meditation.
So just a few more points on meditation, and they're here on our slide. I'll just I'll hit them real quickly. So we were talking about internalizing and personalizing the passage. You know, it's important to have a time, a place, and a plan. Join the journey if you have not ever joined. I can't recommend it highly enough. If you're not from Watermark, you can get there at our website, and it's a daily reading through the Scriptures schedule. Commit to a schedule, and so make it part of your routine, not just something you do haphazardly. And just slow down. Don't just blast through the passage, but think about it. Pray about it. You know, what's God saying to you? And another thing, and we'll talk about this some more later, is journaling. Very important. And when you sit down with the Word, have a journal and a pen in hand and interact with the Word. Write it down. You know, write out your prayer. Make notes of what you're learning. Write the key verse from the passage. It's just, there's something about, one, it keeps you awake. Secondly, it just it involves more of your senses, and it gives you something to go back and reference and refer to and share with others. And it doesn't you don't have to be it doesn't have to be long. This is from this week. It's a half a page. Just a few notes on what I was reading. That happened to be the Lord's Prayer. I just wrote it out, and I prayed it slowly. And so a journal is just, I think, an essential part of your toolkit. I keep mine. I just put it into a slot in my my Bible cover, and it's always with me. So in church on Sunday, you know, Todd or JP or Blake, whoever's talking, take notes. Don't write down everything they say, but those things that really speak to your heart, make a note of them. Journaling is just a really important discipline. We are about at the halfway mark, and before we continue, we're gonna shift our gears now to memorization. And before we do that, we're gonna take about a 15-minute break, and there are snacks on the third floor, and so. Set your watches, and we'll see you back here in about 15 minutes. We'll be up here if you want to. You got a question or a comment or a suggestion? Thanks for being here, and we'll see you shortly. Okay, let's grab a seat. You guys came back. That's very encouraging to Greg and to me. We thought we'd lose about half of you, so thanks for hanging with us. I know it's a long morning, but you're halfway through. So I'm going to start off with, I got a Starbucks card here. Don't look at your notes. Raise your hand if you can quote with the reference my Christian mantra. Let's see, Robert Green, you're on staff. I'm not going to call on you. Who else? Patrice!
You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts
his
name. Isaiah 26:3.
That's a different version.
Yes, it is.
But it's still legit. Very good. Thank you. Patrice, you get a card for effort and for being a great marathon runner. And flosser. Yes. Okay, we're gonna go deeper now with exactly why we should memorize the word. Okay, here are a number of verses, and I'm gonna ask some folks, hopefully mainly in the front row, because we're gonna take the mic around. If you'll read, we're gonna assign these. If you'll read them, you probably need to make sure that's turned on. Okay, let's see. Do you guys all have Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, we'll jump. So let's do. I need Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. When you guys grab that,
I got it.
Okay, Charlie's got that. Let's see, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I was trying to keep them right around here, Tyler. Okay, John down there. Let's see, Ephesians 6:7. Patrice, okay. Psalm 119:11. Thank you, Juanita. Psalm 119:105. Anybody got down here? Or Neil's, you can figure that out. I'll let you figure that out, Greg.
Okay.
And then lastly, on this page, Joshua 1:8. Okay. So let's, I want to start with, I want to start with 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
All Scripture is given by God, and all Scripture is useful for teaching and for showing people what is wrong with their lives. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. Using the Scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work.
Okay, thank you, John. So that's every good work. That's also going to show up again, I think, on the next page. Maybe not, but you know, to teach others, to correct, to rebuke. And you do that with Scripture. You don't do that based on just your opinions or what you think. The next one, let's see, Ephesians 6, 7. We should be prepared for spiritual warfare.
Okay, Ephesians 6, 7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. That's it. That's what it is. So I was thinking, that doesn't sound
Ephesians
like the right
word. Ephesians 6, 7.
That's it. You double-checked me. It is 6, 7.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if it's a different
one. It's the verse about the Bible, the word being the sword of the Spirit.
Okay, the armor of God?
Is it 17?
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Okay, thank you. That's 6:17. Mm-hmm. So, the word's the sword of the Spirit. Have any of you guys ever been in a sword fight? I have been. I've been in a sword fight. I took a fencing class at A&M. Actually, you know, you use foils. They're not really swords. They're little skinny things with a blunt tip on the end. And if you nail your opponent in the target zone, the foil bends, and it's no blood or anything. But wear a face mask. It's an interesting sport. I still remember the day our fencing class. Our instructor, we're all sitting on the floor of the gym, and he says, I need a volunteer. And we knew what he wanted the volunteer to be was basically a victim. That's what he was calling for. And so, no hands go up, you know, and I'm thinking, no eye contact, do not make eye contact. And so I hear, Ashbaugh. And I'm thinking, okay, there's like 80 people in this class. Maybe there's another Ashbaugh. It is statistically possible that I'm not the only Ashbaugh in the class. Unfortunately, that was not the case. And so, you know, I get up, you know, I'm in a ready position, and I'm thinking, this is not going to end well. Because this guy had that look in his eye. I mean, he was going to show the class, you know, how it's done. Now, fortunately, we'd had just a little bit of instruction beforehand. And in fencing, you know, there's a parry. That's where you're blocking the attack, and the riposte, which is when you respond to the attacker. A real basic move. It's the only move I knew. And so he, on guard, he says, and I meekly reply, on guard. And here he comes. I mean, this guy is coming at me. I am ready. And so here he comes, and he's going for right where the word is hidden, if you know what I mean. And so I parried, and as if by the grace of God, I reposted, and I nailed this guy right in the middle of his chest. I thought my foil was going to break in two. The class was stunned. I mean, it was just total silence. This guy was humiliated. He was so embarrassed that this, you know, two-week fencer had won the match with, you know, the only move I knew. So the attacks of my fencing instructor are nothing like the attacks of Satan. I mean, he is coming at you. We're going to hear from John Piper here in a minute about that. And you got to be ready. You got to have the sword in your hand. And when you memorize the word, it's like you've got it. You're ready. It's not on your it's not on a shelf at home, but it's here. It's in your heart, so you can respond when you're under attack. When you're tempted, you've got a weapon and you're prepared, like Jesus did when he was tempted. Or when Satan tried to tempt him, he had a response, and it was the word of God. Let's see. Let's go to Psalm 1 now. Psalm 1:1-3.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Great. Thank you, Charlie. So, we'll be strong, we'll be productive. Really goes well with Joshua 1:8. Who was Joshua 1:8? Mallory?
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
So those are two verses that talk about prosperity. And it's not the prosperity that equates to financial success. It's living a successful life, meaning a life that is aligned with God and His Word, so that things will go well with you. Let's see, what else on this page? I think we skipped Psalm 119:11. Who's got that one? Juanita?
I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Great, thank you. David's verse, great psalm. So we won't sin. Protects us from our own instincts. And then Psalm 119:105.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path.
So we walk with wisdom. You know, we know where we're going. We've got the word hidden in our heart. Okay, here's some more. Let's see, one of you guys, let's take Colossians 3:16-17. We'll take that. Okay. Why don't you just pass that back? We'll just do that. Can someone please turn to 2 Timothy 4:2 for me? Or the next one. Okay.
Colossians 3:16-17. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father.
The NIV version of that verse says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. And that concept of richness, and it dwells richly if you've meditated on it and you've taken it in. And so as we remain in Christ, we abide in Him, that's empowered through the dwelling of the Word of Christ in our hearts. So 2 Timothy 4:2.
Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction.
Okay, in season, out of season, all times, be prepared. Having the word in our heart enables us to do that. Psalm 119:36-37. Can someone read that for us? Down here on the end. And then if someone would get Psalm 119:49-52, right after that. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word.
Great, thank you. So that, we focus our heart. We turn our eyes away from worthless things, like the television, like screens in general. So Psalm 119:49-52. Can someone read that for us?
Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself.
So the word comforts us, and we can use it to comfort others. If it's in your heart, you're ready. You know, when you need it and when others need it. And then John 15:7-8.
If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
So that's Jesus speaking at his upper room discourse, talking to his disciples the night before he was, or the night he was turned over to to be crucified. And if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given to you. That's a huge promise. Susie and I were talking about that earlier this week. That's hard to wrap our minds around. But ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. That's what Jesus tells us. I wanted to make a comment on be prepared at all times. You know, having the word in our heart, we are prepared. You know, there are the Boy Scout logo is be prepared. You know, it means that you're always in a state of readiness, you know, in mind and body to do your duty. And you just cannot be prepared if you don't have the word of God in your heart. So a few more benefits of memorization. You know, it changes you as it's on your mind, as you chew on it, as you wrestle with it, as you work on the process of memorizing it. A memorization facilitates meditation, as Greg said earlier. If you've got it in your heart, you can think about it throughout the day, not just as you're reading it with your Bible open. You own it. You've got it. You can share it. You can use it. You've hidden it in your heart. You don't always have your Bible with you. But if it's in your heart, the Word's always with you. And, you know, you're prepared. You have it in the moment. You can, as I said earlier, it's like having that sword in your hand. It's not at home, or it's not in your scabbard, but it's with you. It's in your heart. Chuck Swindoll wrote, I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your attitudes and outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. Andrew Davis wrote, finally, the memorization of Scripture enables us to bless lost people with a powerful and vivid presentation of the gospel of salvation. He quotes Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Those who memorize Scripture obey Peter's command in this regard. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. So I mentioned John Piper a moment ago. I think this is an amazing video. It's hopefully complements what we've just said. He says it very well and with conviction.
All I want to do in this simple message is to give my testimony and mingle it with Jesus' testimony of the value of memorizing Scripture. I'm pleading with you. So here's my testimony. I can give it to you in 8 sentences without exposition. Number one, memorizing Scripture makes meditation possible at times when you can't be reading the Bible, and meditation is the pathway to deeper understanding. So if you're going to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, you need to have some of it in your head. Number two, memorizing Scripture strengthens my faith because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that happens when I am hearing the Word in my head. Number three, memorizing Scripture shapes the way I view the world by conforming my mind to God's viewpoint on everything. Number four, memorizing Scripture makes God's Word more readily accessible in overcoming temptation to sin, because God's warnings and promises are the way we conquer the lies, the deceitful lies of the devil. Number five, memorizing Scripture guards my mind, making it easier for me to detect error. And the world is filled with error because the god of this world is a liar. Number six, memorizing scripture enables me to hit the devil in the face with a force he cannot resist to protect myself and my family from his assaults. What are you hitting him with? He is millions of times stronger than you. And he hates you and your family and your marriage and this church and God. How anybody walks through this devil-ruled world without a sword in their hand is beyond me. Memorizing scripture provides the strongest and sweetest words for ministering to others in need. Ever been caught off guard with somebody in need? You don't need to be caught off guard. And finally, number eight, memorizing scripture provides the matrix for fellowship with Jesus because he talks to me here and nowhere else. But oh, sweetly, powerfully, authentically, really speaks to me here. And then I speak back to him in prayer. And if this is here, we can talk anywhere. And it's sweet. It is very sweet.
You know, when he said, he gets that part where he says, "When are you going to hit him?" I jumped. I mean, I just, wow. But so powerful. Now we're going to shift to the what. We've heard this verse already. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So all scripture is productive. However, it's wise to prioritize. Some verses are simply more strategic than others. I recommend that you not start in Leviticus, for example. We have another Starbucks card opportunity. Who knows Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 from memory? In the back, that was a confident hand raise. Please, let's hear it. Thank you. Excellent. Pass a card back to our friend. Oh, by the way, before you use these cards, I've written in here Psalm 139, 23, and 24, and I want a commitment from you that you won't use the card until you memorize those verses. Okay?
So, there you go. Oh, you got it.
Thank you. Okay, so I mean, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, that is just fundamental. You need that verse in your toolkit. And if you don't have it down, commit it to memory. All right. So let's talk about approaches to memorization. Here are some traditional approaches to memorization. Top 100 verses. The Romans Road. Well-known passages like the Lord's Prayer. Psalm 23. Assigned memory verses. In Summit, every week we've got a new memory verse to tackle. The Navigator's Memory System. Highly recommend it to you. It's a great systematic approach to memorizing Scripture. In fact, at Watermark, we are blessed to have Equipped Disciple. Equipped Disciple really takes the Navigator's program and puts it on the low shelf for us. We've got groups that meet here. And if you've not done Equipped Disciple, I really recommend it to you. So if just a show of hands, if
If you're not familiar with Equip Disciple, raise your hand, please. A handful of you, okay. Susie, would you take just a moment and maybe give a little better description than I can, because my wife has been through multiple EDs.
So some of y'all have been through more than I have, but the first one is assurances of the basic faith, like assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer, assurance of forgiveness, assurance of victory, and what's the last one? Assurance of guidance. So that's Equip Disciple 1, and they have Bible study and different things throughout, but scripture memory is a big part of it. And so that only has 5 verses in Equip Disciple 1. After that, you have 12 verses each time.
But in addition to scripture memory, what do you learn in Equip Disciple 1?
Well, in 1, you're learning live the new life.
Susie, what other skills besides just memorization go along with it? Like Bible, how to read your Bible.
Bible study, yeah. How to read your Bible, how to do a little Bible study. In the first one, live the new life, it's Christ the center, and then obedience to Christ. And you learn about prayer, the word, witnessing, and fellowship. So each one of those is part of the Bible study. The third one is proclaim Christ. So you learn 12 verses about sharing your faith, the foundation of evangelism. And then you actually learn, you know, why, and you're challenged to write your testimony and to give your testimony to share your faith with someone. What comes after that? Be Christ's disciple is another set of verses and another one, and then rely on Christ's, on God's resources. So giving, stewardship. Debbie, do you remember any others, or Linda Green?
Well, Suzette, the main point I wanted to get across is, it's topical, it's robust, and it beyond just the memorization. It equips you in terms of how to memorize, what to memorize, how to mark in your Bible, what a quiet time looks like. And so if you're a young believer and you've not done Equip Disciple, or if you've been in church a long time and you've not done it, I really recommend it to you. It's an excellent program here. Another approach is to memorize an entire book. Greg was sharing his wife Susan and how she's doing this. We referenced Janet Pope's book, His Word in My Heart. It's a great book on how to go about memorizing chapters, lengthy passages, or entire books of the Bible. And again, I recommend that to you. All these approaches are worthwhile and helpful. I've been blessed by learning long passages. So recommend that to you also.
You know, I'd say too on that, if any of you women are, I mean, of course, men can do it too, but my wife does, they do have a group and they meet, and if you have any interest in that, it's great. So they'd love to have you join them.
So I want to now kind of turn our focus to what I would call the donut hole. And what I consider to be kind of the missing link in our approach to scripture memory. This was kind of the aha moment for me. It really changed my approach to how to think about scripture memory. And it's really what I'm most excited to share about, to share with you today. And the big idea is to personalize scripture memory by connecting it with what's going on in your life. It's great to memorize the scripture verses that are assigned in a study group or classic passages, but when you memorize passages or verses that are linked to exactly what's going on in your life, scripture takes on, it's like the Bible on steroids. And so questions like, what's occupying your thoughts? In what area are you struggling? Where do you need encouragement? Where are you disobedient? Where do you have a sin struggle? Where do you need inspiration? If you find verses that address those felt needs, the Bible takes on a whole new meaning for you than if You know, you're just studying it and methodically moving through it. So Todd analogy, Todd Wagner, you know, our pastor here, I've heard him say this a number of times. If you've been around Watermark any length of time, you've heard him say it, part of his testimony, that Todd used to view the Bible as a rule book and a list of do's and don'ts, and God's just waiting to smack him. And he came to the realization that it's really a guidebook. And God wants to set us free to live life as he designed it to be. That has meant so much to me as I've heard him say it over the years. I've repeated that many times. Now, you've heard it in our foundation group, I'm sure, Jenny and Vivian. If you haven't yet, you will hear it. But I love that analogy. Here's a guidebook. You know, Italy. You know, if you're going to Italy, this is a great thing to take with you. But when you're in Rome, it doesn't do you a lot of good to read about Florence. You want to turn to the chapter on Rome. You want to learn about Rome. Okay? Make sense? Here's another guidebook, the Boy Scout Handbook. Now, if you're going on a backpacking trip, you probably ought to study the pages on how to use a compass. If you're reading about how to use a cast iron Dutch oven for cooking, that's not going to help you on a backpacking camp out. Not too many intelligence scouts are going to haul a cast iron stove with them on a backpacking camp out. So if you use the scriptures tactically, if you step back and say, what's going on? Where am I struggling? And if you find verses that address those issues in your life, now you've got the sword in your hand to deal with temptations as they come along. And it's powerful. This is one of my favorite videos from Watermark. Did I skip a page here?
Did you do a devotional?
This is out of sync, but listen to this.
Listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James 1:19. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? James 4:1. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, leads to death. Proverbs 14:12.
The application coming out of all that we looked at last week was to begin to understand the most difficult part of any conflict was seeing our part in it.
Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Hebrews 3:13.
Hey hun, do you think that I feel I always have to win an argument? Hey, that's not an answer. Actually, that is an answer.
Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye. I invalidate people when I get worked up.
Sometimes, yes.
When you win an argument, you don't really win anything. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 19:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Be devoted to one another in love. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. Honor one another. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Love others. Forgive others as Christ loves and forgives me.
You're ready. Can we get out? Can we get out? Can you get out?
Yes, we can get out. What can I carry?
I love that video. That is exactly what I'm talking about. So he's going to a family gathering. Those haven't gone so well in the past. So what's he do? He equips himself. And he was working it, hiding the word in his heart. So I'm just looking at my watch, and I'm going to have to pick up the pace a little bit because I want to get through all this material. You've been very patient with us. So, continuing on this theme of a devotional approach to scripture memory, you know, often we know exactly where we need to focus. I knew, for years, I dealt with anxiety. That was just kind of part of who I was. And, you know, I just lived with it. And a few years ago, I just became convicted. I mean, that's, the Bible is very clear that we're not to worry. And it's sin. And so I purposed, I'm gonna take ground there. And memorizing verses on anxiety was part of that process. I shared with you earlier Isaiah 26:3. That's a great verse if you deal with anxiety. Sometimes you get conviction through the study of the Word. You're in that process of studying, meditating, and as you do that, often the Holy Spirit will point out things to you, and it will just connect with your heart. I remember reading Jonah in the journey a few years ago. In the second chapter of Jonah, Jonah's in the middle of in the belly of the whale, and chapter 2, he finally surrenders. He gives up, and he's praying. And in the middle of his prayer, he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. It's as if those words just jumped off the page at me. Because in that season of life, I was really struggling with what was going on at work. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of concern about my future. And my job was an idol in my life. And that verse, it was just like, I mean, straight to my heart. And so I memorized it. And I've shared that verse countless times in the years since that point in time, since that happened. Another time is just through prayer. I think the Holy Spirit can reveal things in your heart. And the memory verse that's written on these Starbucks cards, this is another core verse for this class, is Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's David's prayer. That's just it's a great prayer to pray.
Yeah, Bill, I'd like to say on that, there's a warning that comes with that verse. don't take it on unless you're ready. So It'll open
any
up.
Any personal experience there, Greg?
I will assure you, once you start memorizing that and praying on that, and it will open up things that you need to deal with.
Another source of inspiration for what you ought to be working on can come through community. A few years ago, there was an incident at home involving a neighbor and some things that I said, and it created some issues with my dear wife, and you know, sort of friction between us. And you know, I was sharing with my community group about what happened, and Robert Green had the insight to say, "I think you've got an issue with patience." And it was like the scales fell off my eyes. That had never occurred to me. And when I started to think about that, it connected a lot of dots in my life in terms of how I interact with my wife, and in the way sometimes it leads to anger. You lose your patience, you become angry. And so I purposed to memorize some verses on patience. And I tucked them right here. And so when those times come, you know, when you start to sense that then you're getting anxious, you're getting impatient, I've got a tool. It's right here. It's not on my shelf at home. It's right in my heart. So whether it's just that you know already, that it comes to you as you spend time in the Word or prayer or through friends, a lot of places, a lot of ways you can get convicted about what's going on in your life and, you know, where you need to you go deeper. Here's a list just for your consideration. You know, anger, anxiety, selfishness, an uncontrolled tongue, lust, fear of man, money or greed, lack of self-control, judgment, a critical spirit, discontentment, lack of trust, impatience, pride, unforgiving spirit, handling conflict poorly, worldliness, perseverance, people-pleasing. That's just a starter list. But what's going on in your heart? Where do you need to take ground? Where, when you check the 4B form this next year, can you say with confidence, yeah, I grew? So ask God to search your heart. You know, no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. And it's interesting, fear of man, that's a new one for me. It's not a new sin struggle, it's a new revelation. And so that's what I'm working on. And so just a checklist for you to consider as along this theme of being tactical. When you apply the Scriptures to your life, it takes on a whole new meaning. And now you're motivated. You're not just memorizing something because it's been assigned, but because you've been convicted. And it changes things. It changes the dynamic nature of the Word and how the Holy Spirit can use it in your life. Because if you've got an issue with self-control, while memorizing a verse on pride is helpful, it's helpful in your life, it's a good thing to memorize. Memorize a verse on self-control. So prayerfully think about this. You know, ask God to search your heart and come away with some areas where you want to grow personally. So, you know, when you identify an area, there's a lot. So a next step is, okay, yeah. If you stumbled on it as you're reading the Word, then you've already got a verse. But if it's through community, through personal conviction, or through prayer, then go find two or three verses that address that topic. And we've got a lot of resources. Bible Gateway has a fantastic app. There are cross references in a lot of your Bibles. There's a concordance in your Bible. The Got Questions app, or you can simply Google your question as you saw in that video. What's the Bible have to say about pride? And you'll get a list of verses to consider. There's a great, I want to point out to you guys a great website, soniclight.com. That is an amazing resource. That's the study notes of Thomas Constable, who is a longtime faculty member at DTS. A great resource to help you understand the Word. Which brings us to our next topic, and that is when you focus on a verse, it's really important to get the context. Don't just memorize a verse in isolation. But, you know, some key questions here. Who's speaking? Who's the audience? What was the occasion or the setting? What was the timing? You know, where does this book fit in the Bible, in the context of the overall message of the Scriptures? What's the theme of the book? You know, read the chapter and the surrounding verses so you kind of get the big idea. Recently, I decided I wanted to memorize a verse that, if you've been around Watermark any length of time, you've heard, and I think it's a great verse. It's 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. I've heard that many times. But I was thinking about it the other day, I realized, I don't know who said that. I don't know who he's talking to. So, Starbucks card. This is a really tough one. I'll be impressed if someone knows this. Who said that? Anybody know that? I would be surprised. I'd be very impressed if you knew that. Okay. Back in the bag goes the Starbucks card.
We had a guess here. No.
Say again?
We had a guess, but no.
We had?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
No. So, Hanani, the seer.
What was the First Chronicles verse?
It's 2 Chronicles 16:9. Hanani, the seer. And he was speaking to King Asa. King Asa was a great king for a while. And then he stopped relying on the Lord. And he struck a deal with some non-Jews to help out and provide support to defense of the country. And Hannah and I went talked to him and said, you know, man, you've blown it. You're no longer trusting in the Lord. And then he lays this on him that God's eyes range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him, which King Asa no longer was, and things did not end well for King Asa. So that's an example of really understanding the context of that verse. So here's a list of questions. I got these off the Join the Journey application. It's just a great way to, as you study the Word, as you meditate on it, is there an example to follow? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? A prayer to repeat? A command to obey? A condition to meet? A doctrine I need to better understand? A challenge to face? Is there a verse to memorize? So, keep those questions in your Bible. Write them in your journal. As you're interacting with the Word, you can be effective. So don't just pick a verse out of the air and memorize it, but understand it thoroughly and understand the context. So finally, the objective here: hide it in your heart. Tackle one verse at a time. You know, pray the verses. Share them with others. Use that verse to encourage yourself when you're facing temptation, when your sin struggle rears its head. You're now equipped to fight back, to, as Piper said, hit Satan in the face. You know, as you are praying that verse, God honors it. And I think you can not a better prayer you can pray than the Scriptures. And you know, when you're sharing with others, you're comforting a friend, and you've had an issue with patience, and you got a buddy who's dealing with that struggle, and you can share Scripture with him. You know, there's nothing better you can do for a friend than share with them the Word of God. All right, so we're going to shift gears a little bit here and talk about how to memorize. So, a couple of things I would recommend is that you focus on learning the verse from the Bible that you read and study.
Someone came up earlier during the break and said, I knew these verses from another version or the King James when I was a child. And I recommend that as you go forward, at least, you focus on a verse, at least for the most part, verses in the Bible version that you read most frequently. I encourage you to write it in your journal. There's something about, again, a pen in hand that engages you with the verse. In diagram, and I'm going to show you all, just take a minute, I think we've got time to do this, just very quickly. I can do this. I'm going to show you back to Psalm 139, 23 and 24. This is what I would do in my journal. So it's this is not.
Here, try this.
Yeah, I'll do that one. So it's, search me, O God, and know my heart. And the next line is, and I tend to break it up into phrases, so the next line is, test me. So there's parallel, search me, now it's test me, and know my anxious thoughts. And then it's, see if there is any
offensive,
unwholesome,
no,
unwholesome way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay, so it took me a while to get this up here. And then, so you got in your journal, and you step back and you look at it. You say, okay, look for phrases that repeat, words that repeat. So it's interesting. So we got search, we got test, we got see, and we got lead. There's four requests that David's asking of God. And so here it's search me. So it's know my heart, know my anxious thoughts. So that's repeated. So that's helpful. See if there's any unwholesome way in me. So here's way. It's repeated twice. Lead me in the way everlasting. Okay? So look at a verse and say, okay, well, do I understand all the words? What do those words mean? And I looked at that verse. I thought, you know, the one that kind of throws me off a little bit is heart. What's that? I mean, it's not talking about our physical heart. So when the Bible talks about the heart, what's it talking about? So I went to my concordance. I looked up multiple verses on the heart. Looked up what my notes had to say about it. And I won't go into that. But that, for me, was the word that I spent some time studying and meditating on. Because that's the core. So we're asking God, search my heart. Really, our inmost being. You know, who we are our core. And another thing I did, I find helpful, is just to draw a picture. And so I drew a person kind of standing here, you know, here's his heart, okay? And so it's interesting the way this progresses. So it's, search me and know my heart. So these things start here. Who, your core, you know, who are you? And then it goes, you know, test me and know my anxious thoughts. It goes from the heart to the mind. And then see if there's any unwholesome way in me or actions or, and so, you know, kind of to the feet. And so that's the picture in my Bible. You've got heart, you've got thoughts, and you've got way. And that just helped me memorize that verse. And then, you know, lead me in the way everlasting. And so, you know, it's an arrow going forward. So four requests, some repeat phrases, you know, a key word to really focus on, four steps,
And so I do that before I start to memorize a verse, is break it down and look for other verses that are complementary. And so that's part of the study, and then meditation, and then you pray it. You know, God help me, you know, to know my heart. And so, you know, interact with the Word in your journal. And so that's just a key part to the step. And then, you know, say it aloud, you know, multiple times. You know, if you say a verse, you know, 5 to 10 times, you're well on your way to memorizing it. Say the reference before and after so you know where it came from. And learn it word perfect. Then you'll have confidence as you repeat it and as you share it with others. And associate the verse with the topic. If it's on patience, then you know, kind of put those in a in your file. Okay. How to memorize the word. So we're going to talk about two tools. Real quickly, the classic tool is a 3x5 card system. You know, you write the verse number on the front of the card, the topic, you flip over and you write the verse, and you write the verse number again. There's nothing wrong with that system. It's tried and true. Many people use it. There's, you know, it's a great system. But I want to shift gears now and talk about Scripture Typer, because that's the other piece of the puzzle that where things clicked for me, where I had the motivation to memorize the Scripture, and now I have, with Scripture Typer, I think the best tool that's available in the market. So I found Scripture Typer just on my own. I was looking at the Scripture memory apps, and I thought, this is amazing. I've been using a different one, and it was okay, but Scripture Typer is outstanding. And about a month after I found it, I was at Watermark for a summit function, and Blake Holmes, our head equipping pastor, said, look, they had looked at every Scripture memory app on the market and were recommending Scripture Typer. So I felt very confident in recommending it, and I feel confident today to you recommending this specific app. I had hoped to actually show you a live demo, but our AV system did not cooperate. And so I'm going to show you from the Scripture Typer website. I'm going to show you a brief video, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about Scripture Typer.
Welcome to Scripture Typer, the world's most advanced Bible memory system. Memorize Bible verses in 3 easy steps and access your verses anywhere, anytime with the Scripture Typer mobile app for iPad, iPhone, Android, and Kindle Fire, or on the web at scripturetyper.com. Let's take a moment and see how easy it is to memorize Bible verses with the Scripture Typer app. This is your main screen where you can access all of the features of your app. Start by clicking My Verses. Here you will build your personalized database of your Bible memory verses, so all of your memory work will be conveniently kept in one place. Already know what you want to memorize? Select New Verse to import any verse from the 10 most popular Bible translations, or you can enter a verse manually from any translation. Your verse now appears back on the My Verses screen. What if you don't know what to memorize? Browse the verse library with 55 collections and over 700 key verses from throughout the Bible. Let's select the Top 100 Verses collection. The Top 100 Verses collection now appears back on the My Verses screen. When you're ready to memorize a verse, just select it from your list. You can memorize a verse in just 3 easy steps. Start by typing the first letter of each word in the verse to become familiar with it. Next, type the verse with every other word hidden. Finally, type the verse entirely from memory. Repeat each step until you reach at least 90% accuracy. Now that you've mastered this verse, it's been added to your review list. Our smart review system will remind you to review your verses so that you never forget them. There's so much more to explore with Scripture Typer, including audio review, flashcards, advance in rank by earning points and badges, and much, much more. We hope that Scripture Typer blesses you as you memorize God's Word. Happy memorizing.
So, there's a free version of the app, and there is a, I think they call it Scripture Typer Pro. The free version of the app limits you to 50 verses, and there are a few features in the free version, or in the pro version you don't get, such as some heat maps. And so as the beauty of Scripture Typer is it reveals a word at a time. And you're tactically, the tactile involvement with your phone is even better. If you got an iPad or another tablet, it's even better on this application. You can sync them so that they're coordinated. I'd use both my iPhone and my iPad. I don't always have my iPad with me. You always have your phone with you. That's the beauty. Stop playing silly games. You know, focus your mind on Scripture. You know, how many of you, did Pokemon Go this past week? Amazing phenomenon. And you know, you're standing in line at the grocery store. You're waiting for your lunch to arrive. Those are precious moments, and it is fun. It is really enjoyable, and you know, it's you type the first letter of each word, and so the words are revealed, you know, word at a time. Unlike with a 3x5 card, where you flip it over and you kind of see the whole thing, and oh gosh, I wish I hadn't seen that next word. With Scripture Typer, you're typing. If you miss a word, it beeps, it highlights it in red, and it gets you right back on track. And so when the next time you go to that verse, it'll have, if you missed a word, there'll be a light red blank. And so as you're coming up to it, say, caution, the last time I did this verse, I missed this next word. It has dramatically increased my ability to memorize in the first place, and as important, if not more important, to retain, because it sets up a recurring review system. The more you have done the verse, it stretches out the days. And so I've got some verses I only review every 2 months. Others I'm doing daily right now, my new verses. But as you get better, it will automatically stretch it out. And then if you find a verse that, gosh, you know, I hadn't reviewed this in 2 months and I just really blew it, you can set your own review frequency. You can set up categories. Like I have fear of man. I've got patience. I've got the tongue. Things that, again, are issues where, you know, God's wrestling with my heart. And where I found verses that are specific to what's going on in me. I also have Romans Road. I've got, I memorized Romans 8. I'm working on the Sermon on the Mount. It's great for long passages, but it's very good for tactically going after those verses that, you know, are going to speak directly to your heart right now. Tyler, come up and say just a word or two about your experience with Scripture Typer, if you would. Tyler's in our Summit group. He's a poster child for Scripture Memory. Are you on? Is that on?
Hello.
Start talking, Tyler.
Well, I just randomly ended up in Bill and Greg's Summit group back in February, and
Bill was insistent that we learn one verse each week that was associated with what we were learning in Summit, and I had never heard of Scripture Typer, but he told us about it, and he said it was free, which was very important to me. And so I downloaded it, and this has really changed my life and the life of my family because of everything. I would just echo what Bill said, being able to capture Scripture that helps me with my sin struggles and helps me to be able to stop and realize what I'm doing. And then also to be able to remember things that are true and to be encouraged when I'm down, to be able to have scripture ready to go. And then also it's helped me in ministry. My wife and I volunteer and re-engage, and so we've been memorizing a lot of scripture around marriage that helps us in our marriage, but also helps us speak truth to other couples. And then I've also been able to just set up groups that have helped me not only hold myself accountable, but I have a group with my brothers, and so we will throw out a verse, and once we've all memorized it, the next brother will throw out a verse. And I do the same thing with my family. It's allowed my kids to be able to say, hey, Dad, you know, I'm worried about future plans. So my daughter threw out Jeremiah 29:11. My son threw out James 1:22 because he doesn't like hypocrisy. He wants people to be hearers of the word and doers of the, or not to just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So I would just encourage everybody to check it out. I've set some groups up out there that you're welcome to join. I'm memorizing the Join the Journey verses, so check out JTJ 2016. That's a group you can join. You could join our summit group. I set one up for our summit group. Anyway, I just couldn't say enough about it. The pro version is $10. It's the best $10 you'll
best
ever
money,
spend.
If you buy it and you don't like it, Charlie Shelby will reimburse you.
There you go.
He made that offer.
I did.
And it is, so thank you very much, Tyler. We are out of time, which shocks me. I have been concerned all week that it was intimidating to think about trying to fill 2 hours and not, you know, with meaningful information. I just skip stuff. And I could sit here and talk to you all day about this. I am so passionate about the benefit of tactically, strategically, intentionally letting God's Spirit point you to verses that you personally should memorize. And having a tool like Scripture Typer facilitates that. And as you learn verses that are meaningful to you, guess what? You end up sharing them with others. And as you use it, it's even easier to memorize. And as you use a tool like Scripture Typer to review on a systematic basis, you don't forget it. So thank you for being here today. And I hope you catch the fever and that you get the passion for memorizing the Word. And don't be a lazy Christian. Don't be like I was for 35 years. You know,
Bill, just one thing on that. you know, baby steps with Scripture Typer. One of the things that was discouraging to me and that others have mentioned is that through your life as a Christian, you've memorized several verses. And then they kind of evaporate. And with Scripture Typer, it's nice because, or with however you want to do it, but with Scripture, you have them all right there. And it allows you to know what's happened in the past. And so baby steps, I would say, if you want to take this on as a challenge and you're here because you say you do, go back and think about those verses you've learned before and start out with that. You know, we all kind of know Psalm 23. Do you know every word perfect? Have you prayed every one of those words? Go back. You'll blow through that and know it in just a few days.
Yeah, you can do this. You really can.
So you can. So that's my encouragement.
And so as a final note, you're going to get an email today asking you to fill out a just a questionnaire about the class. So please do that. It will be really helpful to us, and we can get feedback as to what worked, what didn't work, what you liked, what you didn't like that Greg said. And so please do it. Thanks for being here. Have a great week of worship.